Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Mary Elizabeth Bradford, and I am here to share with you the secrets of writing a functional resume that really works to land you your dream job. I recorded this particular section separately because there's some very specific things that you want to do when you are designing a functional resume. These are things that I do for my clients when they come to me seeking to change industries. And so please feel free to listen to the previous call on how to design your resume and use this as a supplement so that you go into the process with your eyes wide open. So I'm going to talk you through this instead of showing you things. I think it will be more effective, and this is not going to be a long call either, about 20 minutes. And hopefully when the call is concluded, you'll understand why and why I did it this way. But this is really a philosophy that you're going to apply to your resume. And so hopefully after I go over the points that you need to know to do it, writing your functional resume will be really quick and easy for you. So the whole secret to writing a functional resume is to start where you want to end up and then work backwards. So let's say, for example, that you are an administrative assistant in software and you want to get into sales. So the first thing that you're going to want to do, and of course we're determining that you've already defined where it is that you want to be, is you're going to go to, let's say, a job aggregator like Indeed.com, and you're going to start to plug in software sales and look at different job ads. And when you find the one or two or three using different keyword combinations that really energize you, then you want to take and cut and paste those particular jobs to a Word document or an email. Now, where they are and who they're with isn't that important. What we're looking for here is general things that are really exciting you about that type of position as a whole, where you're going to write your resume to those types of positions, and you're going to use it as a touchstone from which to pull out your transferable skills, skills you already have, or things you're naturally good at or trained at, even if it's in another slightly different application, that you can sort of connect the dots and match up with your new role or your role of choice, your goal, your job goal. So you cut and paste those one or two job ads to a Word document. And then I want you to go through and in a different font or using the highlighter feature in Word, or even printing it out and doing it by hand, I want you to go through every sentence in those job descriptions and highlight or circle the keywords and phrases that you already match, that you know how to do, or that you resonate with. And you're literally going to start to build your resume from that place. Now, with the information that I've given you in how to write your own resume, I've given you several different templates as well. Good templates that you can pick for a functional resume are not chronological. So your professional narrative, where you start to talk about your job history, doesn't start at the top of the page. It starts halfway down the page, or sometimes even on the second page. So now that you have the keywords for your ideal job picked out, you want to start to build your resume to that. And in a functional resume where the job history starts, again, halfway down the page or on the second page, you have at least the upper top of the very first page that can be dedicated to addressing your job search goals. So let's say that the first three things that you need to know in software sales that you've sort of matched up with your ideal job description is that you understand the software industry, that you are really, really good at relationship management, and that you are aware of selling and sales support. So those are some of the keywords that you want to put at the very top of your resume. Another thing that can work for functional resumes are call-out boxes on the right or the left-hand side. So if you see a template with a call-out box and some short bullet points, that's a good place to what I call build your case, why you can and should be in another particular area. So let's say that you put, and I'm just going to make some things up, but just to give you an example of what I mean, you could say 7 years experience in the software industry, advanced certification and training in sales, or self-study in conceptual and hard selling, making this up, customer relationship management, and then you can say something like project management across divisions. Maybe as an assistant, you were very adept at dealing with, you know, 4 or 5 divisions at the same time and working across them to meet a common goal or get a project done. Maybe you close with a degree from such and such school. So you're looking at, again, connecting the dots with that job description and what you already know how to do. So when you start to pull these keywords and plug all this information in, then all of a sudden you start to see this whole new you take shape. And the reason why I recommend doing it this way is because this is very a tactical exercise. It's A, B, C. But when you're just trying to, on your own, think about how am I going to sell myself to a new industry and sort of theoretically trying to go over it in your head, it really becomes a jarbled mess because you're too close to the situation to be objective. So this is a very pragmatic way of building something that will actually work for you. So the next step would be, let's say you've got in your old resume 3 or 4 accomplishments that have to do with or are in alignment with things that you would do in a software sales capacity or a software sales assistant capacity. Let's say that you'd be willing to two-step into that role. So maybe you add, you know, managed multiple projects at once in the software industry that came in on time and under budget. Handled such and such a proprietary information that resulted in so and so. So again, these aren't accomplishments in software sales per se, and yet at the same time, they're going to be strengthening that argument for you being in this position. So that's fundamentally how you want to start to frame out your resume, by connecting the dots with everything that you do have that could be a good sell for that new industry or new position to the types of positions that you want. Now, the only thing we haven't talked about yet is your summary statement. We're still at the top of the resume page. So your summary statement. You can say targeted role, dot, dot, you know, or you could say a strong administrative support person with 7 years of expertise in the software industry targeting a software sales or sales support position, period. So then you can say familiar with Fortune 500 software companies, market expansions, marketing team goal setting and such and such. And, you know, again, picking out those pieces individually. And again, you're going back to those job descriptions and you're using them as a touchstone. And what I mean by that is you're reading through, and when you see that they need someone that has strong organizational skills, the ability to work across departments and strong relationship building skills, you're just thinking to yourself, okay, I resonate with that statement. I'm trying to remember a story that I have maybe of a time that I did that and was successful. So, again, this puts you in that mental mindset, too, of connecting the dots. So, again, you're able to sort of come outside yourself a little bit and just look at these things line item by line item very objectively, and then create your summary statement in order that, again, you're continuing to build that argument for you bringing value to that new position. So, A couple other tricks with a functional resume. Now that all of that is done and you have connected the dots, there's a couple things that you can do underneath this information. This is going to be the top half page or the top fourth page. So right underneath everything that we've been talking about, it's a very good idea to put core competency buttons, maybe three or four buttons deep of single word or short phrase core competencies. Because again, now you're able to separate out yourself from your old position and only pluck out the key skills that are applicable to your new position. And that puts sort of a perspective of who you are and who you could be to a company in someone's mind, in the reader's mind. So that further makes the argument and sort of puts in concrete, you know, I'm experienced, I can do this, for you and for the reader. So what comes next below core competencies? And you probably don't want to go more than, three bullets deep and then three lines across. So that gives you nine. Sometimes you can do four, but it can get a little bit overkill. And chances are, if you're transferring into an industry, you're not going to have a whole, 20 different keywords you can use there anyway. And you don't want to overload them with keywords at the same time. So again, this, just as the eye is drawing down through the document, continues to reinforce your value in this new role. Okay, so if you can travel, if you can speak multiple languages and you're looking to go to Latin America and you can, you have anything connecting you to that, building the value of who you could be down there, you can add that too. So again, we're just connecting the dots. Below that, now we start to put our professional experience or professional narrative or job history, career history. There's a couple different ways that you can do this. If you have been in this industry that you want to be in the future, in the past, or you've been in it on the periphery or part-time or from a consulting basis, or you know something about it that you want to call out, you can do that by titling the first portion of your page industry-related experience. And then you can either list some bullets that go a little bit deeper into your expertise, and then just put below it the companies where you did this and the dates, as a sort of a short summary statement. So ABC Corporation from 2006 to 2009, and then you put XYZ Company from 2002 to 2003. So what you've done is you have sort of carved out everything that is industry related, and you've stuck it up there first as priority. Now, some people might say, oh, well, I've heard recruiters don't like that. Well, you're right. Recruiters don't like that. And recruiters probably aren't going to help you if you're changing industries anyway. So that's another topic. But in terms of job search techniques, whenever you're looking to change industries or positions, it's always a really good idea to bone up on what's working, to tap into the hidden job market. And that is information for another call and a whole other subject, but that is something that goes hand in hand with industry transitions. So please do look into that. I have some products and calls on my website about the hidden job market that are very, very good. It's something that I've done for 17 years, so I know a lot about it, and I help people change industries all the time. So, okay, back to the task at hand. That is one way that you can set up your storyline for your professional history. And then underneath that industry-related experience, well, let me actually go over a couple different formats. The other thing that you could do with industry-related experience, too, is you could put at the top XYZ company, your role, and the date, and then underneath it put a few bullet points, why they recruited you, promoted you, or appointed you, what you did for them, and then the results that you brought. And if you decide to design your resume this way, if that's a fit for your particular past, then you want to remember another particular trick that I use in this circumstance, which is call out your skill set and speak in terms of skill sets that are transferable. So in this way, maybe using the example that we have with the software admin going into software sales, maybe we can say sales support or sales and marketing support. So you carve that out as one of your responsibilities, and then you give a little bit more information about it. And then maybe underneath you say relationship management, and then you share on the right-hand side a little bit about that. Maybe the bullet underneath that is multiple project management or special projects. So again, we're looking to connect the dots between where you want to be and where you have been. So now we're not just saying supported the CFO in this and this and this, doing this and this and this, arranged all travel and flight information and meetings and event planning, da da da, which when you read through it that way, doesn't really connect the dots with your reader. But if you carve out particular skills that pertain to the job that you really want, then it makes you look much more viable, and it's a much more readable and marketable document. Okay, so that's industry-related experience. Now, right underneath that, if you wanted to section these two out, then you simply put other industry experience or other other experience, other professional experience, and then you would put whatever you would put there. You can use the same philosophy in order to create this information. It doesn't have to be exactly the same, but you've done your job now in helping the reader understand, this is why I'm qualified and valuable in this new role. You've helped make it easy for them to envision you in this new space. And you've shown confidence, you've shown aptitude in organizing your thoughts, making your arguments, stating your case, if you will. So that's one way to do it. Another way to do it is to simply, under your professional narrative or career history, you can put industry-related or transferable skills, sort of accomplishments. And you can develop those in one big section. And then underneath, you can list the jobs that you have had, the companies, and what your title was. So this way, this is another way to sort of arrange the information so that the emphasis is not on anything that is non-related to what you want to be doing. So those two strategies work pretty well. Oftentimes, when you're looking to change industries, a two-page resume can get a little bit dicey, because the longer the resume is, the harder it is not to talk about things that aren't related to the position that you want. So in this particular case, you can do a one-page resume and an addendum, or a one-page resume and only go to a two-page resume if you absolutely have to. I think for most people that are changing industries, you can make your argument with a good one-page resume. And if the layout is beautiful, if you're well-organized, if you've sold yourself, if you will, then, you know, chances are you're going to land a lot of interviews with that type of a marketing document. So one last thing that I want to bring up here, well, two things really, is board appointments, academic achievements, nonprofit and community contributions. These are really important to put in because they demonstrate your expertise sort of in different ways. And they also are a reflection of who you are personally, what your values are. The reader can glean this information by looking at these too. So if you've done any extra training that is above and beyond your roles, if you have, you know, done some volunteering for Habitat for Humanity, or you're on some type of a community board or membership board or Meals on Wheels, this is a really good idea to put that in your resume to let people know a little bit about what's important to you. That demonstrates your virtue. It can make somebody want to talk to you even more. Another tip here, too, is quantifiable accomplishments. Most people, when they create their resume, their mindset is on what it is that they do. In other words, I write resumes. So I say, I write X amount of resumes a week. I have this certification. I design resumes this particular way. Maybe I talk about a couple technical things. Really, no one wants to know that. You don't want to know that if you're hiring me to write your resume. What you want to know is what happens when I do this. So what are the results, you know, when I write a resume, what happens to the person that I write the resume for? What are my stats? And that's what you want to be thinking of with your past roles as well. Not what you did, but what happened when you did them. Now, arguably, this is not the easiest transition for somebody to make mentally, because we're really almost trained to just focus on what we do, not step back like a CEO and say, let's look at the whole vision, what happens when we do what we do, or what's going to happen when we do these things. But if you, for example, go through your current resume, and I bet you have a bunch of bullet points in there, and with tasks that you did, I want you to go through each of those sentences, and at the end of every sentence, ask yourself, resulting in what? Or what happened when I did that? And see if you can come up with the rest of the story, the punchline, the ending of the story. Now, let's say that you worked on something that was a $10 million project and it was slated to take 7 months to complete and you completed it in 4. So I bet that saved somebody money, and I bet that you can show that you brought that project in 3 months early. So those are the metrics that you would start with. And when you write down your quantifiable achievements, that's how you want to be thinking of it, is start with the end result. So you say, brought critical project in 3 months early and saved 20% of project costs by doing this, or period, and then you tell a little bit about what it was. So you begin with the result, because if you begin with the result, when the reader reads that, all of a sudden they're intrigued. They've got to know what happened. How did you do that? That's really interesting. And the thing about it is, with quantifiable results, if you can do this enough times throughout your resume document, and you can do this in your professional narrative specifically, you can demonstrate that you have been essentially successful in every role you've had. And when people read that, they automatically think, well, if you can do this, this, and this, and bring consistent, successful results, that is a reflection of a good person, a person that is willing to learn, that is a high achiever no matter what. And chances are, if they can do well there, they're going to do well here. I look at it that way when I hire people. I guarantee you that's pretty much a universal truth. So very important, even if it's in a different resume, in a different industry, to bring up your metrics, your quantifiable accomplishments, and pepper them throughout your professional narrative, because it demonstrates your virtue and your success overall. So those are the key tips and extra points that I wanted to touch on regarding your functional resume. And I wish you every success in your future endeavors. And I can tell you that I work with industry changers every single day. And whatever it is that you're trying to do, if this as just an encouragement to you, most people come to me thinking what they want to do is impossible. And most all of them discover that it's not only possible, but that they can secure the same or more money than they were making in their last job, which is always a big shock to everybody, because they think if they're changing industries, they have to make a pay cut. So thank you so much for listening, and I hope this has been helpful.